Good morning, every nation, Timor-Leste. Blessed anniversary. What a joy to be able to be with you this weekend. Pastor Thomas, Pastor Gilbert and Ron, I just want to congratulate for your leadership that has brought the church thus far. You know, before I kind of jump into the Word of God that Pastor Thomas has kind of asked me to talk about, I want to introduce my family. And part of the reason I needed to do that is so that one day when I visit Timor-Leste, at least you get to know and recognize all my kids, okay? So, quick picture of my family, 3 boys, 1 girl. Some of you may know the story, some of you may not know the story. And being a Chinese family, you know, our family planning is always to the dot. So, every 3 years, we produce 1 child. The eldest is Joel, then Joash, then Jaden, 3 boys. Then we decided to stop. That means we did everything medically possible. But on the 5th year after we stopped, God gave us a surprise. And there we are. We have our youngest daughter, Joanna. She's 13 right now. And I just want you to know that during the entire pandemic, one of my greatest highlights was be able to spend great times chatting and eating dinner and praying and just fellowshipping with my kids and just trying to discern what is in their hearts, okay? I also want to take this opportunity to welcome every one of you to Malaysia. If you ever visit KL or Malaysia, I always tell people your visit to a nation is incomplete until you get to visit another every nation church. And I think that's the power of spiritual family. So if you come to KL, this is how our church looks like. It's a very nice, warm auditorium. You're going to be blessed by it. I hope to be able to get some of our leaders to host you for a meal. And talking about meals, the next picture show you how multicultural we are. We have 3 biggest religions. We got Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, and Christianity all embedded together in our nation, being Islam the biggest and also the national religion, so to speak. And then out of that, you have all the different food, the fusion. And so if you ever come to Malaysia, we just want to welcome you. You know, as I thought about this weekend, being able to have the greatest honor to celebrate with every nation Timor-Leste, your 8th anniversary. You know, anniversary are really a way to help you to do 2 things. One is to look back and one is to look forward. Your backward and your forward. A backward is to reflect, is to think about all the great things, the celebration that God has done. 8 great years that God has done in Timor-Leste. And I really want to thank Pastor Gilbert just really for his leadership. Pastor Gilbert kind of served together with us in this region. And every time when I get to hear Pastor Gilbert, there's always faith, there's always wisdom. And the last conversation we had was Pastor Gilbert is going to go to a very uncharted territory, a territory that is going to be filled with all kinds of challenges. And I just want to honor this man and his family for their faith. And because of Pastor Gilbert, then we got to know Pastor Thomas. And we enjoyed Pastor Thomas, his authenticity, his humor, him being himself. And one thing I like about Pastor Thomas is he's always encouraging. He's always positive. He's always in faith. He's always, you know, when he was going through even a COVID situation, he was just kind of sharing with us that God is good. And I just really want to honor his leadership. And I think that out of that leadership, it kind of shaped and formed who the church is. So I just want you to know that as a region, we are so proud and honored that you are part of this Southeast Asia. And I hope one day I get to meet as many of you face to face. You know, Pastor Thomas has kind of asked me to talk a little bit about Every Nation mission, in particularly 2 words. And if you have forgotten, let me just kind of read Every Nation mission together with you. And it says, yeah, we exist to honor God by establishing Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, socially responsible. Let me say that again. Socially responsible churches and campus ministries in every nation. You know, this mission statement was carved out many years ago. And there are 3 thoughts I want to kind of wrestle through with you. Number one, this Every Nation's mission, it is really a very broad mission statement, which means that it its goal, its design, is to give the greatest coverage to as many churches and ministries that exist differently with different heartbeat, different passion, different shade of calling that God has given unto them. For example, some churches are just stronger in socially responsive. Some churches are a bit stronger in the community. Some churches are a bit stronger in the campus. But nevertheless, we wanted every church to grow in the entire spectrum of who we are. But it's a very broad mission statement. Number two, what you needed to know that this is also a journey. The mission helps us to piece our steps together. Help us to understand that we believe in mission, which is why every nation is part of our language. We believe in planting churches, which is why we are always learning. And KL right now at this moment, we are planning to plant 3 churches. One is on the way. The second one, we already identified the place and renovation is being done. The third one is still in the midst of planning. It is really steps of faith. All campus ministry, and I know that for Timor-Leste, campus ministry is huge. There was a lot of young people that is existing in that church. So I just want to congratulate you for being such a powerful, missional kind of a church. But this mission statement really has a beginning point. And you know what's the beginning point? The beginning point is really about making disciples. Now, before I jump into socially responsible and kind of narrow that down, I want to say this, okay? There are times when I read this mission statement. I'm not too sure whether you recall this, but oftentimes we say we exist to honor God, make disciples. And sometimes the way I think is that beside honoring God, our first goal is to make disciples. If we were to make disciples, then it is disciples that is Christ-centered, disciple that's spirit-empowered, socially responsible, will be the one that will carry out the entire thing that God has given unto us. So I want you to know, the beginning point, it's really making disciples. Now, why is that so important? You know, as a pastor that visited to different nations, and obviously a little bit about all my regional involvement, I've seen some churches who are so into socially responsible that they just ended up doing social works, being kind, being a blessing, but they did not make disciples. So I want you to know, it is very important. The beginning point of everything is making disciples. And as we continue to make disciples, it is those disciples that God has gifted them a certain call, being socially responsible. They are the one that potentially stands in the front line to bring out that picture of what it means to be socially responsible. Now, I'm going to talk that through a little bit. I want to begin by one of our church members, someone that got saved in our church. And I will still remember this particular person really have a heart for those kids. There were orphans or kids that were being abandoned in the poor community. And this lady served with us for years and serving the kids' church for the poor. So we have our kids' church, and because the poor that tries to mingle in and they find it a bit difficult, so we created another segment on Sunday evening where we have about 20, 30 kids from the community. And this is the poorest of the poor. And they will come in, we'll feed them, we'll have kids' church with them. And there's this particular lady, her name is Susan, and she's actually a very high-end corporate lady. And I will never forget. And because she sort of, we led her back to God. And in that journey of finding her gifting, she found that she really have a heart for such a kid. And her most critical moment of her life was when she was being offered to go to the States to become one of the high-ranked IBM CFO, the financial chief financial officer. And I will never forget, as she kind of navigate through that decision, the Lord spoke to her that her call is to serve these kids. Can you imagine? She is at the highest peak of her career. But because of these kids, she decided to stay back and faithfully serve them. And out of that, she began to see some of them coming to know God. So I want you to know, all this socially responsible, really the beginning step is to be focused, to keep on making disciples. Help those who do not know God grow in God. And in that journey, the formation of socially responsible will gradually come about as God peace you through and give that desire in your heart. So that's something that I want to begin with. All right, now, The passage that I'm going to work with you is Matthew chapter 25. That is a passage that was given to me by Pastor Thomas. But Matthew 25 was really the backdrop. It's Matthew 24, right? If you know mathematically, at 24, 25, right? And Matthew 24, Jesus and the disciple was having a massive discussion about the second coming of Christ. So they were just talking about what are the signs and how do you know He's coming. So Jesus was really telling them that you actually do not know. So after telling them all the possibility of the signs that pointing to when is Jesus going to come back again, He then actually ended with a few parables. Verse 32 on where He talked about the parables of the fig tree when it blossomed. Then He says that you know the time is near. Then He talked about the parable of the thief that is coming in 24 verse 42. He talked about no one exactly know, but be watchful, be alert. Then He talked about the master that went away and handed over the servants, the stewardship. And then He was encouraging to be a good steward. And then you moved on to Matthew chapter 25, talk about the parable of the 10 virgins and how it is important for us to always have the Holy Spirit, the oil with us, be ready, be watchful, do not be drunk, do not be drowsy. And then continue by the parable of the 5, 2, and 1 bags of talents of gold that God has given to us. You know? So God was just trying to use all these parables to prepare us for His second coming. In the midst of, after preparing everybody, then one of the disciples, as they continue in that journey of questioning and asking, they begin to talk about at the end of the day, of the Lord's day, there's going to be a judgment. And in that judgment, there's going to be a sheep and a goat. And one of the conversations that derived out of that was really a question. When Jesus said that when I was in prison, you visited me. And then they said, when you were never in that prison, you were never hungry, whatever. And then we read in Matthew chapter 25, verse 37. It says, the righteous will answer Him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king then replied, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of brothers and sisters of mine, and you know, every nation, every household, every region has one of the least of the brothers and sisters. The Bible says, you did for me. And that's the title of this message. You did for me. You know, I kind of put in my imagination that this phrase will become alive to every nation Timor-Leste. That everything that you do for the community, everything that you do for those who do not know God, you do it for God. And one day when we come to meet God, God is going to tell Pastor Thomas, God is going to tell the leaders of Timor-Leste and says, you know, every bread, every loaf of bread you gave up, you did it for me. Every tract, every gospel that you shared, you did it for me. And I want you to know that whenever we do something, we're not just doing for an individual. We're doing to who God is. And in doing so, we bring about who God is unto others. Now, socially responsibly, responsible can be really a kind of a big, big subject. And it looks very differently to different stages of the church and also different culture that you come from. Oftentimes, we think about socially responsible, we think about feeding the poor. That is an expression. But beware that expression can only be a social event or social activity without bridging the gospel. I'm going to kind of work through this as you, and I trust that God will chart you to be the kind of church that's socially responsible. And I feel that one of the biggest things to be socially responsible is to be able to bring about the love of God and the gospel. That is really also being socially responsible. I was talking to one of our pastor from China, and they don't have feeding the poor program. And but you know what? In China, one of the greatest need is really the breaking of marriages, the amount of divorce, the whole diluting of its culture, of young people and kids, you know, being disowned and, you know, all that parenting, all that challenges. And they felt that one of the greatest things they can do to be socially responsible is to actually bring about healing and restoration for marriages. So they do a lot of social event that promotes the well-being of marriages, the importance of a husband and wife relationship and how to strengthen that. And sometimes it doesn't look like the way we imagine it has to be handed out in a loaf of bread. But nevertheless, whatever that we do, according to our culture's greatest need, is being socially responsible. So I want you to also kind of frame your thinking and not to just box yourself with a certain thought. Now, I just want to share a little bit about our journey in socially responsible. You know, when we form our church in our early days, the greatest focus is really to make disciples. And sometimes to be socially responsible in our beginning was to be able to do something that's meaningful for the campuses that we are in. Whether that includes sometimes during exam time, we just bring encouragement to all the students because, you know, sometimes in the students, you are going through exam, you can have all your mental stress and we bring food. I remember there was a time when we had a lot of what do you call that? The smoke and haze from because of the burning from Indonesia or some of it from our own nation. We literally went around just passing masks to all the students. You know, all this little thing helped us to be socially responsible, okay? So it doesn't have to be the biggest thing. We even did simple things like students that couldn't finish the exam or struggle with it. We gotten our students and some of our working it out to be able to help them, some of them tuition. And, you know, all these things are really to be socially responsible. So again, I just want to encourage. So our story was we kind of began with that. But eventually, we landed at a particular poor community. And what happened to this poor community was because there was some development. So there were a lot of the squatters that was just removed and placed in a particular area. When we found out the needs that were there, we began to move in there and trying to serve them. It started with events. It started with some fundraising and then just moving there. But eventually, it was very clear that it wasn't more fun. It wasn't more Kentucky Fried Chicken. It wasn't more food that they need. It was really education. So we ended up setting up a center where we are able to serve the poor and be able to be a blessing to them. The center has coexisted with the community for many, many, many years. And we did many, many things, education program. But the goal in every one of them is to help to connect the dot to the gospel. Now, I want you to bear in mind, sometimes to be socially responsible, we can think about just social activities that absolutely have no gospel content. So I want to encourage you, as you think about wanting to be socially responsible, first of all, do not have to box yourself to just serving the poor. You want to go to your greatest need and bring a definite value so that you and I can be a blessing to every one of them. All right, now, so I have a little phrase called socially responsible looks differently to different churches and different culture. For where we are in KL, in Puchong, that's where the church is, one of the greatest needs socially responsible is a particular area where the people are displaced. We want to be a blessing to them. We also have a lot of refugees that we wanted to be a blessing to them. And in the greater and the bigger, wider scope of things, there was just so many different, whether it's marriages needs, whether it's college needs, that we can serve them now. But we can do some of all that is because we are at this point of a church where we are in a size that we can just dream a little bit further. I want to encourage you with Pastor Thomas' leadership in Timor-Leste, that you do not be overly ambitious. So I come up with four kind of a guides to help us whenever we think about being socially responsible. I call that LINK, L-I-N-K. These are my four guiding thoughts to link the gospel to the work that we're trying to do. Number one, L is long term. So whatever socially responsible thing that I try to jump in or the church tries to jump in, first of all, we think about it as a long term. So recently, we started what we call a thriving parenting, which is something that we run it every year, and we try to include as many people that do not know God in the entire journey and wanted to bring value, because we find that in our generation, parenting is one of the most sought after things. People are always looking for, how do I get my kids to not play so much computer? How do I get my kids to characterly be good? And right? So we are trying to do that, to meet that need of our society. So that's something that we've embarked on. So number one, you try to think long-term, not just a one-time event where everybody feels good. One of the orphanages that we support almost on a yearly basis, the pastor used to tell me this. He says that during Christmas, the kids are so booked up by so many different corporate companies who take them out for lots of fried chicken, McDonald's, I don't know, wherever you come from, Jollibee, So they will have a lot of all this fast food outing. But he says, Pastor, my greatest need is not KFC. My greater needs is really for people to kind of journey with these kids in the season of their life, to help them to form their character. So an event like that cannot do that. It makes you feel good, take some nice picture, post in the social media, but it doesn't really meet their needs. So think long term, all right? Number two is the word I, link, L-I-N-K. I is think about whatever event that you can include beyond the church. Include others. Include corporate world. Include your friends. Include your office mate. Think of something that you get to do it together and it wasn't just a church event. So let's say you want to do a parenting thing. You do it with a lot of other parents that's outside the church. That's one thing to be a blessing. So like our community arm that really serves the poor, we do it with some massive big company, which is our top funder, in order for us to be able to do that. So you always think long term. Number two, you include beyond the church, include others, and not just let it stay within the church. And then L-I-N-K-N is the word national building. You must think about, does this activity contribute to this nation building? Every nation, like for example, we just came through a horrified pandemic situation, right? And you're trying to think of something that will rebuild the nation. You're trying to contribute something so that it can just bring that about, so that the nation knows that the church bothers about what is happening. So even during the entire pandemic, we were trying to offer as a church some of the things that our facility, that whether the police personnel can rest and all those, though it was not taken, but at least that's the way you want to think. So you want to think long term, include others beyond the church, and then national building. And then finally, with K, is the word kingdom focus, which means the gospel. Ultimately, all that we do is to create a bridge so that there is a moment, there is a time we can look to someone and say, hey, you know what? God loves you and we want to care for you. To be able to do that is very important. I remember when we started to go and visit the poor that, I shared about, there's one particular community and we wanted to be a long-term. We have a center there. We have education program. We got financial literacy program. We got just a lot of things that's happening. One of the participants, and they never know we are a church. So for years, this person, whenever I go there, people will call me Pastor, Pastor, Pastor. So this person also called me Pastor. After about 3 to 4 years, one day, this person, she came to me. She said, I thought Pastor is your name because she has never been to church. So all this while, she thought Pastor is my name. Until one day, she realized I've got another name, but Pastor is what I do in church. And I want you to know that those are the little small seed to help to bring people kingdom focused eventually. And then this person eventually came to our church and accepted Christ, though she doesn't come to our main church, but she visited a different kind of a smaller community kind of a church. So I want you to know that whatever we do, think L-I-N-K, so that you can link the social responsible 2, the thought about the gospel. Okay, now, for the my end of the, you know, message, I just want to share with you, during this pandemic season, there were literally a lot of social responsible opportunity or moments that we can seize upon. The moment Malaysia had a lockdown in the month of March 2020, it took us 1 or 2 weeks to ensure the whole church is well. We kind of reach out to all our different families through all our whole bunch of leaders to ensure everybody is well taken care of. If there's anything that we can stand, we try to do so. Then we put on our head to look at what is the greatest need right now in this pandemic season. So eventually, we responded with 5M. So during how the social responsibility looks like during a pandemic season, we came up with 5M. Let me just kind of walk you through. The 5M are the masses, the marginalized, the mental health, the marketplace, and then the main frontliners. Okay, let me just kind of quickly go through everyone. Masses are what we can do. So we try to empower as many of our church people that stays all over to be a blessing wherever you are. Though it was for a short period, but we wanted to mobilize everybody that you have the sanitizer, you have the mask, and you be a blessing to your neighborhood, to your friends, you know, you bless them, and just mobilize everybody. So you can imagine, it's almost like a little lighthouse that lights out throughout in the midst of a darkness. So we did that, just mobilize everybody. Second thing that we did was really to take care of the marginalized. You know, our families, and again, we included the corporate world, and just to be a blessing, the marginalized. And till today, we have our food bank just next to our church building. We converted the entire place to be a storehouse, and honestly, every month we easily spend more than $10,000 just to be able to feed the poor, anywhere between $12,000 to $15,000 just to be able to feed the poor. And that's how much we have committed ourselves to make a statement. And we work with the local authority who are the poor. And in fact, some of the things that we did came out in the newspaper. And together with the authority, just acknowledging that the church bothers about what's happening in the community, right? And you know what? And out of this, we got people who got saved, and because there was an opportunity for us to share the gospel. The third one is really mental health. And I want to encourage you, mental health is something that's really extraordinary. And I think that's one of the greatest needs in our society right now. Because of the pandemic, mental health has risen lots and lots of percentage. So what we did was we gathered a group of professionals, and mostly from our church, and then we empowered them and we hired them to provide mental health care to the bigger community. We began to have counseling session, counseling talk, all various platforms, sometimes for a marriage platform, sometimes for a family platform, sometimes for a work-related platform. All that we do was one thing to help people to know that you are not alone. Just reach out, and there are people and professionals, they are there to serve you. And then the fourth thing that we did was marketplace. We had all the different talk. We call it shift, trying to help people in the midst of the pandemic. All the little shift that you need to take place in your mindset, in the way that you want to reinvent yourself. And in that exercise, we try to match those who are without job to certain corporate world, just to bring about a blessing to the marketplace. And obviously, the fifth one was really the main frontliners. We immediately took a step to bless the frontliners. And I think one of my most moving ones was when we went to the police, local police station, and just stood with them with massive providence and wanting to tell the police people, we appreciate what you do. You know, my greatest highlight when we dealt with the police was when we had our roadblock because of the pandemic, movement were limited. But every day I still needed to go to the church, and it's a bit gray, but I still remember there's one time I was stopped by the police, and then I just kind of rolled down the window. I said, I'm a pastor. And then I remember these two policemen who look at me and saw me. He says, are you from Every Nation Church? I said, yes, I'm the pastor from the church. And then immediately they said, thank you for what you do to us. And then, out of respect, they didn't even question me. They just say thank you, and they let me go. Now, I'm not trying to use that example to talk about how, you know, we get away, but that really was just a glimpse, a small little snapshot of whenever you do something for the nation, people notice and people recognize. So I want to encourage you, for where we are as a church, with our size, with our resource, we're able to go beyond a lot. But for yours, which is about 100 of your, 100 plus of your, I want you to seriously follow the leadership of Pastor Thomas. I don't know how socially responsible looks like to you right now, but that's something you need to seek God, but you do not box yourself with a certain frame. You have a lot of campus students. There's a lot of things you can do. One of our new church plant that we have done was really to create a space very near the college, and we wanted to a space where the students can come in to study, and so that we can bless them with a nice, quiet, you know. So we did that simply because that was being socially responsible outside the campus for a bunch of campus students that might be looking for a space as such. So I just want to encourage the church. Being socially responsible is not trying to do a social event where you have a feel-good moment, but you connect the dot to the gospel. And whenever you and I do that, we get to create the biggest bridge for us to take a load truth of who God is and the love of God into the lives of these people. So I want to end by praying for the church as you write a new chapter, as you believe God in this anniversary, as you look forward to what is ahead of you. I pray that God will give you clarity, God will give you wisdom, and God will give you a fresh anointing to write this chapter. Let me pray. God, I'm so grateful that I get the opportunity to be with Timor-Leste this morning, to be able to encourage the church, even in their 8th anniversary, to be a certain kind of a church. And that simply means a church that's socially responsible. Lord, how it looks like, I leave it, and I trust that you will lead Pastor Thomas and the leadership to paint that together so that the church is not too ambitious to overdo, but stay in the track of making disciples, yet be able to bring out what it means to use the love of God to touch this particular generation in this nation, in this culture. So I pray a fresh anointing. I ask of you, as they celebrate the 8th year, as they write the next 8 years, chapters of their life, God, I pray, let there be a fresh anointing, let there be a fresh call, let there be, Lord, just a new insight upon the church. We thank you for every nation, Timor-Leste. We just look to you. We pray in the name of Jesus, may the blessing of God be so abundant that it flows out to everybody around them. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Blessed anniversary.